We are WNST, Tulsa, Baltimore. Baltimore positive. We are positively getting the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road. I am excited about this. And people say to me, the crab cakes, are they really as great as you say they are at Fadley's this week? And next week, we're going to be up at Cooper's North, and I'm going to be having the gumbo. And I'm not ashamed of that, telling you that I'm going to be having the gumbo. That's on Tuesday afternoon. We'll be promoting Fleet Week that's going on down in Fells Point. And then on Thursday morning, we're going to be at State Fair. I keep thinking Geddy Lee's going to show up on TV at State Fair around 1 o'clock as the Orioles play now. And Geddy's getting a little older, so loves baseball. So I'm thinking he's probably an old guy like me and likes the matinees. I had Bill Cole admit to me that he wanted to do the matinee. I said, well, we'll work that Braves game out 2 weeks from now. I'm sure it'll be 107 when I'm in my polyester jersey. I'll have the Pac-Man scratch-offs to give away on Friday. Luke Jones will be joining me. He's about to join me now, talk some Oriole baseball. We're going to table the talk on Friday to walks. And I do want to say thank you to Jiffy Lube MultiCare for being an annual sponsor, being super awesome to us, to Blau Blau Fam, everybody. We're going to get on to that, as well as Liberty Pure. And I'm going to get Doug around here to talk about how he's made my water clean. But for you and me and this baseball thing, we dream up these Fridays at Fadley's and we're going to get together. And I think you and I got pretty cocky in the offseason, despite the fact that we took the long flight home from Arlington and they didn't do enough in the offseason to make you happy at one point. Then Corbin Burns happened. Maybe they didn't do a lot of people happy not bringing Jackson Holliday up, then they brought him up. There's been a lot of bumps in the road and all this, but like they just beat the Red Sox up. They get a day down. You and I get to get together and see the Rays come to town. And we get a crab cake at Fadley's. And they're like as good as advertised. And I don't know. Like, I went to the front of our website, and I don't know if you know this, but my press credentials under review. So I'm trying to be nice. So everything up on the front of the website's about the outfield mess and the bullpen mess and the starting rotation, two guys down. And that's us talking baseball, right? That's what we should be talking about. That's what, unless you're Rex Barney and not taking phone calls or taking, I was listening to Molesky on the way home Wednesday taking phone calls. And I'm thinking the phone calls are always the issues, but the greater good in all of this is they got a new owner who's splashing people. They're really good. And I think on a night when the star hits the grand slam, my lottery folks, John Martin's, excuse, he's got to go find the money. I mean, because they're going to hit these things. He's got $5,000 he's got to give away. Burns pitches like a guy, like a dude. And the Red Sox fans, they were all real happy when it was 8-3 on two. All of a sudden, that gets quiet again. And you go back to the standings and say, it's a really good team, man. And like most nights, 2 out of 3 nights, they're going to beat your ass. That's 667 ball. That's really good when you win 2 out of 3. And we ain't had that around here for a couple, 3 decades.
Yeah, well, and now it's 2 years in a row, which is where they've been. I mean, it's they officially hit the one third of the way through the 2024 season mark on Wednesday night. Yeah, Memorial Day has me all out of whack
It's an
this
all
week, thinking what day of the
solstice
week
thing.
it
Yeah, my
is.
wife's
Yeah,
birthday is like it's weird. June's not here, but it feels like it's the middle of June already.
but for everything you just said and question marks and things haven't gone perfectly, although plenty has gone well, let's be clear about that. They're on pace to win 105 games. They're on pace to do better than they did last year,
Better
which
than
last year
advertised.
was the first 100 win season since 1980. So we're in pretty special territory here in that regard. Now, long season to go. The New York Yankees also continue to win and are also playing 667 balls. So there is no let up here. But I'll remind everyone, the team that's coming into town this weekend was the team the Orioles were duking it out with all summer and into September last year, in the Tampa Bay Rays. So it's a long season. What's going to happen over the final 108 games? I don't know. But what I do feel confident about is it's probably going to go well, and they're probably going to continue to be really good. Now, is that going to be better than the Yankees? We'll find out. But this is a really good baseball team, and we've talked about it through the lens of not overlooking some of the issues or some of the potential pitfalls that they have, like the bullpen or health of the starting rotation right now. What's going on in the outfield with guys like Cedric Mullins and Austin Hayes? We've talked about that. We'll continue to talk about that. But I think it's important to take a step back and recognize that even with that, even with some of the angst you see on a nightly basis on social media that I think some of it's just social media. I think some of it's Baltimore having such a football, strong football-minded mentality for the last three decades because, well, there hasn't been much of a reason to have too much of a baseball mentality save for a handful of seasons. They're really good. And yeah, they're going to go through some bumps on the road, and they have already, you know, and they got swept last week, and everyone thought the world was coming to an end at that point, despite the fact it was kind of a artificial record at that point in time, or streak at that point in time. But I'll give you another streak that continued this week against the Red Sox. The Orioles have now played 18 consecutive series against the AL East. The AL East, the mighty AL East, where for years the Orioles couldn't compete, and they cried poor, and they couldn't develop players and all of that. 18 consecutive series they've either won or split against the AL East. Not getting swept. Won or split. And that right there really illustrates why this team has been so good going back to last year and making the run to win the AL East last year. And it's why they're right there with the Yankees, despite the fact that the Yankees have played at such a high level. So fun night on Wednesday night. You know, it was a strange beginning to the outing. You know, that second inning where they kicked the ball around a little bit, I even tweeted out, it kind of gave me 2019 woes, or 2019 vibes for a second of just the defense. Couple errors, an errant throw that wasn't an error, but Gunnar Henderson hits the grand slam. Corbin Burns settles in very nicely, goes seven innings for the second time all year, and you win 6-1. I mean, that you kind of don't draw it up any better than that. Especially knowing what kind of stretch the Orioles are on. After this off day, they have one more off day until July 1st. You know, they have one off day in the month of June. So pretty nice that your ace goes out there and says, you know what, I'll cover seven tonight. Gives the most of the bullpen an extra night off. Then they have the Thursday day off. And then you get ready for a long, long stretch against some good teams coming up. Maybe not Tampa Bay with the struggles they've had, but they're going to play Atlanta. They're going to play Philadelphia, who's been the best team in baseball. They have the Yankees later this month in the Bronx. They play Cleveland at the end of the month. They play the Rangers at the end of the month. You know, that's a pretty imposing month of June that lies ahead. So a good way to finish off this series against the Red Sox, with Corbin Burns doing heavy lifting and Gunnar Henderson doing what he's done all year, which is hit bombs, and the Orioles win 6-1.
He's Luke Jones. He's Baltimore Luke. You can find him out on the interwebs. And we're going to be together at Fadley's on Friday. We're doing all these crab cake tours, and we're not going to be at Fadley's on the 14th. We're going to be doing Fleet Week in the 28th. So we're going to have a chance to nerd out a little bit. And I want to do something with you on walks and analytics and have Friday be your like nerd thing. But on a day-by-day basis, the amazing part of them winning is that I look around the league, and I had John Martin from the Lottery on, who's famously a Cleveland Guardians fan, formerly known as the Tribe, and they're winning. And then I see the Phillies winning. And then, so there's other teams, Dodgers, their teams are winning, but the Yankees and what they're doing and where the Orioles are in this race, and hearkening back to Jeffrey Mayer and, God, Reggie Jackson for all of that, right? Watching the standings doesn't feel the same to me, right? Like, as an old guy, as a gray beard around here that doesn't talk about wins anymore because you tell me I'm not allowed to. We have to talk about, war and, all the modern stats. But there is a point where the wild card part of this, and I'm really not scoreboard watching. You know what I mean? Like, in the way that you would in an NFL season or anywhere else, or saying that, like, does it matter if the Yankees win 118 games and we win 104? Does it matter as long as you're in? And the only scoreboard you really need to watch in the modern era is your own to get to, whatever that magic 90, 92, 88, whatever the number is that gets you into the tournament, kind of like in the NFL, like, just get me to 11 or 12 wins and we'll take our chances. We'll see how we do, and take our chances against the Bengals and the Browns and the Steelers when we see them. We see these teams a whole lot less now. We're doing the Costas crab cake tour on the 20th, and I'm trying to do these around these afternoon games, figuring if I'm going to be out, let's watch a ball game, So we're playing the Yankees. It's the end of a three-game set later in the month, and to your point, they don't get a day off, so every day their pitching's going to get more taxed, and they're probably going to be using the Norfolk shuttle a little bit more. That's pretty predictive. I would bet on that. Can I bet on that? Can I bet on how many relievers they're going to bring up now that I look at the schedule? But I would say for me with the Yankees, or me being out at a Joe Jackson concert in your beautiful homeland of Pennsylvania on a Wednesday night and app watching and watching Gunner hit bombs on my Twitter and like all that, I would say that scoreboard watching is not something I do. And literally when I kind of went away last week for a couple days, I'm watching the Orioles. Joe Enoch's got the app out. I'm watching them get their ass beat in St. Louis. I don't know if the Yankees were playing that night. Like, and I'm in a casino and I'm walking through sports books. I just not, and psychologically, maybe that's a part of being 30 years younger, 30 years ago, and watching Sports Center all night and being glued to ESPN in a way that I'm not anymore. And I'm probably never going to be, because I don't think it's very good. It doesn't compel me in that way. Major League Baseball Network does on an evening. I could put that on and flip around. And I saw that in every storefront in New York, by the way, Major League Baseball Network. It's how I watched the Orioles on Sunday and the no hitter, or what would have been a no hitter. Talk to Jim Palmer about that. But I would say for the Yankees, and whether they're in first place or we're in first place, I don't. Does that button ever get turned on? Do we turn that on in August and say we're four back or three up or two down? Or I love the horse race part every day that we're to measure us against them, but I don't feel like baseball's like that anymore. And that's just me zooming into a pennant race where it used to just be one team in 1979 with my dad on the bus, and it's either us or the Red Sox or the Yankees, and it's not that way anymore. And I'm not disappointed by that. I just think, like, I'm unconcerned with what the Yankees are doing, and I'm unconcerned with the standings to some degree, and that's a little weird.
I don't think I agree. Let me put it this way. Comparing that to the pre-wild card era, no question about it. It's not quite the same. I'll say this. We just passed Memorial Day. It's not early anymore, but there's still a lot of baseball left, right? You still have over 100 games to play. I think last year showed us very much you still watch the standings. I mean, it was a very compelling AL East race between the Orioles and the Rays last year. I mean, it really was. Think back to that July series at the Trop, the huge series at Camden Yards in mid-September where the ballpark was packed. The Rays took the first couple of that series, and you're saying, oh, no. And then the Orioles came storming back, won the last two, and ended up winning the division. So,
and get a week off and stink after that, which is okay. A baseball problem, not just an Oriole problem. A lot of teams are having that problem.
I hear you on that. And that, yes, there's some concern with that. And the Orioles endured that, although give the Texas Rangers credit. They ended up winning the World Series. So maybe it was more just the Rangers more than the Orioles having 5 days off at the end of the day. However, you say that the division race doesn't mean as much, and look, you still get into the tournament, but keep in mind what that wild card round is. The Orioles did not play in that. Okay?
It's filthy.
As the top wild card, the Orioles would host the wild card round. Yes, all three games are at home. You lose twice. This happened to Tampa Bay last year at home. You lose twice in a 24 to 27 hour period. Your season's over. Like, think how many times that happens. I mean, forget about the whole sweep thing and all that.
You're doing the Sigma Del math on it. Like, you walk in a casino and these are your odds. You don't like your odds.
It's the same thing we've talked about with the Ravens. As much as we have beat up the Ravens for their lack of success in January and Lamar Jackson having to wear a less than impressive postseason record that certainly doesn't align with all the brilliance we've seen from him in the regular season. Let's also keep in mind, Nestor, they didn't have to play in the wild card round in 2019. They didn't have to play in the wild card round this past year. Every time you go out there and play, no matter how great you are, you're still playing someone else that's trying to win.
Well, and somebody lets a curveball loose and it gets up on, Colton Cowser or whomever, and Westberg this week, and Markakis, right? Like, so every time you go out there to play, there's a risk of doing that. But there's also just the, do you want to survive that? Do you want to play in that? Does that keep you sharp and fresh? Or do you want a couple of days off and escape all of that? I mean, no question about it. You want to escape it. I'm not, from the odds perspective, but paying attention to that for May has been a little bit of an issue for me, at least in the early going, just to say they're playing 667 ball. Doesn't matter what they're going to be fine. The Orioles are going to be fine.
And let's be clear about this. I agree with you from that standpoint in the sense of, okay, you don't want to lose 9 of 11 and then you look up and suddenly you're six games out. right? I mean, you don't want to be in that position, but the fact that they're a game and a half out going into Thursday's off day, hey, they're tied in the loss column. The Yankees have played three more games. Yeah, I don't think you need to be living and dying with every result every single night for the Yankees and the Orioles. I mean, the Yankees were in Anaheim. Angels actually had a nice comeback victory against them on Tuesday night. I actually caught that because I had the extra innings package. But yeah, we're still so far out from August and September when, yeah, at that point you are watching every single result, every single outcome and saying, okay, the Orioles win this one. What are the Yankees doing? Who's pitching for them? Who are they playing? All that. Yeah, there's still time for that. In May, you're still very much focused on yourself. You're still very much focused on how you're playing, how healthy you are, what your schedule is. That's why we've talked so much about, there was so much chatter about the six-man rotation before John Means goes down with injury, Dean Kramer on the IL, because of this long stretch they have where there are just so few off days. I mean, it's challenging. And you said it, the Norfolk shuttle, as much as it can be, considering they only have a couple bullpen arms that have options, unless you get into DFAing someone, which, we've seen some of that as well. Mike Bauman being one example recently. And if Vieira pitches like he did on, what was that, Monday, he won't be here very long. I think that's the Captain Obvious statement, but it's going to be challenging. That's why, again, when you get contributions from Kyle Bradish in Chicago, the way he pitched, how Burns pitched on Wednesday night, where you get seven innings, I've joked about it with you, and I actually saw one of my Twitter followers actually said this after Burns's outing, said seven innings is like the new complete game, and it kind of is. It kind of feels that way now, just the way that the game is changing. I mean, I'm not happy in saying that, but it's kind of reality at this point. But you get seven innings and you can give your bullpen mostly a night off. I mean, that's great going into an off day, giving those guys 2 days of rest. I mean, Friday night against the Rays, everyone will be available. There's no question there. Everyone will be available in that bullpen. And, we'll continue to talk about the pen, the issues they had Tuesday night with the bullpen late in the game, although they weren't hitting the ball anyway, but we're going to continue to talk about that. But you still want to keep everyone healthy. You still want to be in a position where you're not overworking anyone. And when you get starts like they got from Burns on Wednesday night, you're able to do that. So great win, great start to the season. Yes, the Yankees have been a smidge better, but I mean, they're in great position. It's wild. And we've said this, and this is where I'll continue to caution everyone, because there's been so much focus on not the negative per se, but the concerns about this team, which, by the way, everyone has that. The Yankees are talking about the bottom half of their lineup. They pitched exceptionally well. They have Juan Soto. They have Aaron Judge. I mean, two of the very best players in baseball who are both raking, both MVP candidates. You have other guys in that lineup, like Giancarlo Stanton, who has been healthy and good and all that. But you get to the bottom three or four spots in that lineup and questions about their age and their health, and Garrett Cole's throwing live batting practice. And is he going to come back? Same way we've talked about Bradish. It's like, okay, he looks great. You're excited about it. Is the elbow going to hold up? So all these teams, all these contenders have issues. We talk about this a lot in the NFL, with the salary cap. It's not as apparent in baseball when you have teams like the Dodgers spending hundreds of millions of dollars on ball players, but all these teams have some issues or some warts or a certain area or a certain position that are concerns, but you still win a lot in the meantime. So enjoy this. I mean, we're talking about a 105 win pace. Am I guaranteeing that the Orioles are going to win 105? Well, tell me how healthy the pitching stays. Tell me how healthy their best players stay. Jordan Westberg had an injury scare the other night, getting hit on the hand. Seems to be fine. Took a night off. Sounds like he'll be back in there this weekend. But, that's your third best position player at this point in time behind Gunnar and Adley Rutschman. And, I mean, he's been fantastic. So you can't lose guys like that. But you do know there are going to be some injuries. There are going to be some more challenges, probably some more challenges to their pitching staff, just knowing how baseball works. So that's why it's so important. As much as I agree with your general sentiment about not dwelling on what the Yankees or anyone else is doing right now, it's why it is important, though, no matter if it's April, May, or getting into the summer months, stack as many wins as you can, because you just don't know when you're going to have that stretch where couple pitchers go down. Gunnar Henderson tweaks a hamstring, and maybe he's not on the IL, but he might miss 5 or 6 games in a row. And, you know, you don't want to be in that kind of a position. So, but you know, those things happen. So every win you can get now is one win you don't have to get at the very end of the season. So, you know, it's still, to me, you're still winning the division is still paramount because you want to try to avoid that wild card round. But just the fact that we're talking in these terms, Nestor, in terms of it being so certain, not that it's 100%, but knowing that this team's 16 games over 500 now, they're playing 667 ball, even if the rest of the season doesn't go as quite as well, you feel very, very confident that they're going to be playing in October. And let's just take a step back and appreciate that for a moment, because 2 years ago, 3 years ago, certainly 4 or 5 years ago, I mean, that felt like a dream that was so far away. I mean,
dude,
there was
I've been
no
in here
light
32 years, okay? 32 years going back to before there was a wild card, right? When this thing started. As far as them making the playoffs on June 1st.
Yeah.
This is my 33rd season of doing this every day and sanctioning this and paying other people to do this every day on AM radio. I can even add 10 years to that and take you back to the newspaper and say 40 years from 1984. How many years on June 1st you had some level of confidence that you better save money for playoff strips and World Series strips?
I mean,
I'm gonna count it. Hold on. 96 was not one of them. 89 was not one of them. 97 was one of them because they were in first place and there was a wild card at that point, and the odds probably, as the new math would stack, I'll give you that. So I'll give you 97's 1 year that that happened. I will give you, and then they lost for a decade. I'll give you 14. 12 was accidental, stepped into it at the end. 16, they weren't very impressive. 13 and 15, 14, they were really good. So I'm going to give you two seasons. Last year, no way. We weren't sitting here June 1st saying they're definitely this or that. They go back and check it out.
They
were
really
not
good
a shoo-in to be into the playoffs last year, this time.
With three wild cards, I would disagree. With three wild cards, I think at this point last year, there was a high degree of confidence they were going to be in. Now, winning the division was a different story because Tampa Bay got – I think you're underselling a couple of those years in there, but your point is well taken in terms of a high degree of confidence. I'll actually tweak a couple of those that you mentioned. For 2014, at this point in the season, they still did not – they hadn't really taken off yet. I would actually challenge and say 2016 at this point in this year – they were really good at that point.
They had the hot start that year.
And remember, they were a little more middling the rest of the year. And obviously, they still made it to the wild card game. And we all know, remember what happened with Zach Britton and Abaldo Jimenez. But yeah, your point's well taken. It's been a handful of years. You know, you could count on one hand the years where you were supremely confident. And then there were the other years. You know, 96, there were high expectations just because of the additions they had made. But, yeah, in June,
well, those
it was...
are relevant seasons. Every season at Camden Yards, the
sure.
First 10 years, even when after Albert Bell, they were relevant
yeah.
to some degree because you believed in the institution.
Yeah.
Once you lost – once it became very, very clear when they weren't drafting players and this malevolent human was, like, running it, that there wasn't a lot of hope. McPhail provided that, Buck provided that, that group of players, Machado provided that for a minute, but this is something really special. I mean, I had Alan
right.
McCallum on this week. I think you and I talk about it a lot amidst the, we need bullpen help. And what are we doing with all these outfielders and poor Jackson Holliday? And well, you know, our heart bleeds for Austin Hayes and Cedric Mullins and like all of that. But that, these are the conversations we couldn't have. We didn't have a conversation about a pitcher being pulled in 20 years around here because it didn't matter. Doesn't matter when you're, it doesn't matter. And then when it matters a lot, you know, like, and the difference of you being down there every night, people on every pitch. And, you know, even late into the night Saturday, they're losing and look awful through 8 innings and then hit a couple of home runs and steal a game. Right.
Yeah,
they're winning 2 out of 3 games really, really consistently. This whole sweep thing and the fact that they don't get pushed around is it's not lost on me. you know, when I do look at the standings and look at what a couple of other teams are doing and where the Orioles have been for the last 40 years. It's not these are the good days. We're into the good days right now. This is 1969, 70, 71. Joe Enoch and I were talking about that over the weekend. You know, like, this is what your dad told you about. And, you know, and I lived through the end of it from 79 to 83 and then reported on it the last 40 years. And most of my reporting has been negative for being Baltimore positive because they're like,
hasn't been a whole lot to be positive about.
This is as good as it gets. Like, and it's a pinch me thing to say, can you fix relationships? Can you stop being a jerk to me? Can you heal things? Can you grow things? Can you find a way to make the sport available to everyone all the time, ubiquitously, seamlessly? And I mean, I saw the Ravens put out their video of all their what they're building, and like 92% of it is targeted at people on golf courses. Like,
I was there. I was there. Yeah, they did the tour, and I mean, first of all, it's not that far along yet. They've got a lot of work to do the next 2 months, which always feels that way with construction sites. But two thoughts: one related to the Ravens, because as you were just talking, I brought up the schedule. I've looked at October's schedule. At Cincinnati, October 6th. All right. Beginning of the postseason right there. Home against the Commanders on October 13th. Okay. Potential conflict there. And then road games 21st and the 27th at Tampa Bay and at Cleveland. So the fact that we're looking at the Ravens' schedule in October, not September, talking about, okay, when are the Ravens going to play? You know, week one, are they home? Or are the Orioles from that day? Which we've done that for years just because planning purposes, but October and seeing where the Ravens are playing and how that might or how the baseball season might impact or the baseball schedule might impact that in October. There have been very few times we've been talking about that in June. Over the history of Camden Yards, 92 through about 99 seasons were relevant. Not all those seasons were great. 95, they weren't. They were pretty bad with Phil Regan as manager. And then 2012, and I'll give them through 17. 17, they were still hanging around in the wild card race in early September and then completely fell apart. And that was the end of the Buck and Dan Duquette era. I mean, they crashed and burned. And then 18, we don't even need to talk about. And then the last 2 years, I mean, I just, in a 30-plus year period, I mean, that's a short period of time there. You know, you're talking about 10, 11 years where just saying they were relevant, just saying that they had.
That's what I'm saying. It's the time to grow. It's the time to get everything right for everybody, to bring a 55-year-old guy back
on
and say, for the next 20 years, I'm going to love you long time while I hold you accountable as a media member, as a citizen, as a partner, as an invested Birdland, like all of that. Like the fact that they're not welcoming that right now, or that it's like, that they can't see it for how special it is to be doing things. I it's really a time for them to own the Ravens. I mean, and this Raven Oriole thing you talk about really is an issue on the country clubs, because only one of the skyboxes are some of these companies going to be able to afford. And certainly down to the fan in Dundalk to say how much, how many, when, why. I mean, I saw the Ravens doing a TV commercial. We're the most exciting, by the greatest experience of the seats available. Well, if it's all that, then why are the tickets available? Because Chad Steele threw people like me out, and tickets are $10 and people don't want to go. And they're glued. The NFL has gotten the media so good, you don't want to go to the game. Like, and baseball for me being locked out, I see the strike zone every night and hang out with Jim Palmer and Ben McDonald. It's not right. It's not appropriate. What happened to you and I in Arlington is not right. But so I am going to begin to challenge them to get things right, because this is as good as it gets. This, you got to grow now. You got to get people in. You got to get people of color in. And I'll say that out loud again and again and again, because Adam Jones should be talking about that. Everybody should be talking about that here. How do we embrace the entire community? And it's not skyboxes and premium this and premium that and gold plated this and come into my special club. It's, this is the city, this is Baltimore's team, and they're both playing that game, and I see the way they're playing it with me, and it's not going to play well with me because I'm going to be honest about it, but it's not going to stop me from talking about how great Corbin Burns is or what an incredible selector of talent Mike Elias has been or how they've made this thing good. That's cool. Monday, they gave away mustard and ketchup and relish shirts, and they sell 40,000 tickets. Tuesday, it felt like Fenway Park, empty, and they got their ass kicked. And I'm watching it, and I'm thinking to myself, they're independent. I mean, same game as yesterday. They're not giving out freebies. And they have a culture of that because they haven't given out a good baseball in 30 years. So it's bobbleheads. It's this. It's that. It's discounts. Concerts, country concerts, whistling national anthem. I mean, whatever they're doing, it's cool. They're trying hard. I see that. This is their time to make sure this time next year that when the Red Sox are in on a Tuesday night, it's not relatively sleepy, and I hear more Red Sox fans down in the bowl than Orioles fans. And I harken back to when there were 42,000 Red Sox fans in there and 6,000 Oriole fans, and my wife's whole family's camped out in my place. That's gone. But I want to see that from the Orioles. I want to see the Orioles fan base grow during this period of time.
But it is, though.
Okay.
It is, though. I mean, and I've said this over and over, I'm going to continue to say it. It's a dial. It's not a light switch. You're not selling out the ballpark overnight. I'm taking this. This is not my math here, but Jacob Calvin Meyer from The Sun, you know, he covers the team on a regular basis. Through 28 games. So this was, I guess, as of Memorial Day. Through 28 games, the Orioles average attendance, 25,971, an increase of 27% from the same point last year. That's pretty good growth, man. You know that. You understand business. Now, is that the end point? Of course not. Not even close. Far from it. They have to continue to do things, but people are coming back.
You know, one thing I don't hear as much anymore, and this really speaks to Harford County and Carroll County, where they vote a different way and where you live up in Pennsylvania. I don't hear, I ain't going to the city no more. Well, I'll go for baseball. If I'm comfortable.
I mean, I still hear that, but you're right. Not as much.
That's probably the most important thing I've said here in 38 minutes of talking to you about baseball, because like, that's what it needs to be. That's what it needs to be. It needs to be the conduit to get people back downtown who haven't been there. But the stadium can't be 99.8% Caucasian either. It just can't be. Like, I don't think that that's a growth point for them as a sport, as an industry moving forward. And I've talked at length about the lacrosse issue here and the conflicts that just lacrosse families bring, because lacrosse families do a lot of lacrosse and there's a lot of lacrosse and there's less time for baseball games, watching games. And I know there's a lot of people who play lacrosse that love baseball and go to Orioles games. I get that. But I think there's a timing issue on that that's a little different here. And the kids are out of school, right? Soon, next week. You tell me, Mr. School Teacher. So, 27.
Some aren't.
Yeah, 27%. That's awesome. The one thing I see that's awesome is I'm getting offered tickets for $10, $12, like movie ticket prices. And I'll tell you, when the Angelos group was really running this a year and a half, when the team was terrible, it was still $23 to walk in. They like, even last year when things got a little better, they did a throwback the clock a year and a half ago or whatever to 83. They were doing that thing. Like, the fact that you can get in for $10, $12, like a movie ticket, that's very, very welcoming to people. And that's how my dad and I got involved in baseball. It's how your dad got involved in baseball, right?
One thing that I've really liked that they've done, and you know, I'm on the Orioles email list, and I don't mean the media list. I mean, same list anyone else would be on, as you know, whether
I'm
a season ticket
one
or whatever. but if you notice, and this really lends itself to what you just said, one thing that I've really liked that they've started to do, and this is something they started doing a few years back, in fairness, but they're doing it with more frequency now, is these flash sales based off of something that happens in a game. So when Jordan Westberg hit the walk-off home run, the first homestand of the season, they had a flash sale where it was, I don't know, 50% off for whatever games for this period of time.
Yeah, if Mountcastle knocks in 7 runs against the Tribe one night, they'll put a $7 ticket on for an hour.
I like the concept from the standpoint of, yes, first and foremost, it makes it more affordable and you're trying to engage. And to your point, trying to get more people in the ballpark. And, you know, whether we're talking about, you know,
whatever demographic. We all like cheap stuff, right? I mean, that's why giveaways are so popular. But I like that from the standpoint of you're offering that. But that also in and of itself is an incentive to follow the team. So you know when they hit a walk-off home run or – and I don't know if they did
that's
one.
That's when you're going to buy. That's when you're getting your deal.
Right. You kind of know. So then there's even more reason to watch and to be engaged on social media and to be following the team. I mean, that's how you really do this. Look, anyone can go to a baseball game or a football game. I'm a great example of someone who would go to a hockey game and really enjoy myself. Am I going to start following it? No. So when you do more to engage with your fans, not just, hey, here's a giveaway or here's discounted ticket, but hey, we're going to tie that into how the team's doing, then that's how you get a little more buy-in to get people to start paying attention a little bit more. Now, it's not the end-all be-all, but it's part of it. So yeah, they still have so much work to do. There's still Masson, the TV, future of TV. I mean, again, so much of what you're talking about, including talking about getting more people in the city, more people of color to come to ball games. I mean, that's a baseball-wide issue. I mean, that's, you know, across professional sports, you know, that's a challenge and something that you want to do because everyone spends money, right? Everyone spends money. I mean, regardless of your demographic, it might depends on what your level of disposable income is, depending on how much money you make.
You know, but I spoke to Reverend Al Hathaway about this. This is going to run because I did the He's Holy, I'm Not podcast last week in Las Vegas. And both those fellows have been on my show. I like them a lot. And Reverend Al's been, doing the work of the people, the work you want a reverend to be doing in West Baltimore, trying to help people and bringing people to the ballpark. And he's a huge advocate of sports, a golfer, the whole deal. And I ask him, when you bring 100 kids who might not even know the rules of baseball or have any, kids aren't playing baseball in their neighborhood, they're not watching it on their app phone behind the closed gates of, you know, the accessibility of baseball in lots of places in the city, you know, it doesn't come to them. So I said, what do they like? He said, they love being a part of something that says Baltimore on it. And they love doing the wave and they love, and I think the Masson cameras show this when groups do come to the ballpark, especially the day a couple of weeks ago when all the kids were there and I turned down the tickets in the rain. And there's 28,000 kids in the upper deck. I used to be one of them. I saw Gary Renicky take the Laren Legros fastball off his cheek on safety day, by the way, in 1979. So, you know, I was a kid once too and falling in love with it and why you fall in love with it. And then your dad talks to you about it when you get home or your uncle, or your mother, or your father, or your neighbors or your kids at school or another kid at school, or you have access to a glove, a bat, a ball. You know, those are all huge entry points. You know what I mean? Like, I've been doing a lot of off the field research in my lack of press time I have to go spend down at the ballpark around the cage getting to know players. I've been calling around and just talking to a lot of really smart people off the air and on the air. You can go watch Marty Conway, Charles Steinberg, Rick Vaughn. I mean, I've had a lot of people on and saying, you know, what would you do to fix the team? How would you fix? And I'm getting just unbelievable prescriptions for stuff, but they all, every one of them, and it's almost Pollyanna, and I almost don't subscribe to it, even though I'm espousing it to you right now as something that is a little highbrow, getting kids involved and youth, like that's number one on several of the list of people who've been involved in the sport, not football people, not soccer, baseball people. That is a universal issue for them is they're not young enough. They're not hip enough. They're not fast enough. They're not cool enough. They're not colorful enough. Not even the Venezuelan kids or Latin kids who now make up 70% of the neighborhood that my childhood home's in. But they're all Central American. They play soccer and they don't know the rules of baseball and who's taking them out to the ballpark. Who's taking people look like me out to the ballpark. Maybe I should do that. Go over to Colgate and grab a bus like we used to and go out to 33rd Street, which we did. And there's baseball fields there, but who's playing on them? Who's teaching the kids the game? Where are the parents in the neighborhood? Like my dad, there were community organizers that had a clicker in their pocket and an umpire mitt and, you know, a bag of shin guards and a chest protector and bats and beating up balls into the bag. Grass stains all over all the balls. Fresh box my dad would have for the gamer, you know. So that's why I'm still sitting here 55 years later when they treat me like trash. and still love it, you know. And they better. Every person I talk to talks about that part of it, like that being the most. I don't think of that as a 55-year-old guy that grew up with Gene Tennis and Campy Campanera. Like, you know, I'm good with baseball. You're good with baseball. That, we're not who they're targeting. I mean, I've lived through all of this and still watch every night, even and run a company around loving them and sending you there and paying you and asking sponsors to support us on behalf of all this to support them. It's not really about you and me. You know, it's more about the baby that's in your sister's belly and your niece as to whether they're ever going to love it and whether they're going to want it, or whether the brother or whether the boy in their class or where that's going to be the next 10 or 15 years. And this is the time. They didn't have anything to sell most of the last 30 years, man. Yeah. You know what I mean? They really didn't.
It is at the same time. And look, I hear everything you're just saying. I don't disagree with it. Those kids have parents. Those kids aren't coming to the ballpark by themselves, right? I mean, especially this day and age, the days of taking the bus to Memorial Stadium when you're 10 years old, you know, without a parental supervision. I mean, you don't see that today.
Dude, Angela's family didn't do anything for free, but they did have a free kids, for a free kids program.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a field trip day. You know, so I hear what you're saying. I also, and I see this in my own space, and so this is more anecdotal, but I also do think in this day and age, and I experienced this some as a 10-year-old baseball fan who had 10-year-old friends who, you know, weren't as into baseball as I was. Let's just leave it at that. I also do think inherently, and I say this now as a 40-year-old compared to being 30 or 25, you get more perspective, or you like to think you have more perspective and wisdom as you get older, maybe not. But I also do think baseball just inherently, because it is a little bit slower, not as slow as it was pre-pitch clock, obviously, but it is still a slower game. I do think there's probably something to the idea that it does just trend a little bit older. And I think now, by the way, I have 40-year-old friends who had no interest in baseball for a long time. And even when the Orioles were good for fleeting periods of time, and they're more into it now. You know, my brother-in-law, who's, you know, in his mid-30s now, is way more into baseball than he was when I met him a decade ago. And it's not as though the Phillies have been embarrassing, you know, over the course of his life. He's seen them win the World Series.
Baseball's a different level of commitment. You could be a NASCAR fan.
Yeah, so
weekend.
It's different, yeah, right? Yeah. So I think it's important to recognize that, first of all, none of this is going to compare to the NFL. You know, we've talked about that over and over and over. But yeah, you do have to cast a wide net. I don't want to see the game change so much to the point where I don't recognize it anymore. I think that's counterproductive too. But yeah, you got to sell the game. And certainly here in Baltimore, my goodness, this is such a fantastic opportunity for this organization, for this baseball team to reach people in a way that they haven't, I would say, since the 90s, but even then you were drawing from such a larger regional footprint, you know, with no team in DC at that point in time. This is such a huge opportunity to do every possible thing you can to attract people to the ballpark. Because the good thing is, when they get there, even if it's because of a bobblehead or a T-shirt or a ticket deal, whatever it is, more often than not, most nights, 2 out of 3 nights, they're seeing this team win. And I will continue to say winning trumps all of that at the end of the day. But you want to take full advantage of that winning and getting people to come and attendance continuing to grow from where it's been, you know, over the last 2 years where, you know, it's improved, but still has a long way to go, to your point. And you want to make this thing great long term. And there's a lot of heavy lifting that still needs to be done that has nothing to do with Gunnar Henderson or Adley Rutschman. Well, maybe signing them long term. But, you know, you want to make this thing not just great for 3 or 4 years. You want this to become what the Ravens have been over the last quarter century, which is, a very occasional lean season. But for the most part, they're at the minimum, they're relevant every single year. And that's a lofty goal. That's not an easy thing to do, but this is the team right now with the groundwork, you know, the framework they have in place, the foundation that they've laid over the last 5 or 6 years. They've got a chance to be able to do that, but it's going to take great ownership. It's going to take really smart people in various facets of the organization to capitalize on that. And that's where I know you and I still have a lot of wait and see how that's going to go. But in the meantime, what's happening on the field, It doesn't get much better than that. And, we'll bring it full circle. We'll see what this summer looks like in terms of a pennant race and an AL East race with the New York Yankees. But the Orioles on pace for 105 wins. Just think about that. How many times have the Orioles won 105 plus games in their history? Twice, 1969 and 1970. I mean, to your point, you said it a little bit earlier. These are the good old days in terms of someone that my age or younger has never experienced anything close to this. And I say that fully appreciating what Buck Showalter and Dan Duquette did a decade ago, but this is a different level. And this has such a fantastic chance to sustain if you make good decisions, you have the financial commitment from ownership, and you try to capitalize in every single way that you can.
Been doing this 32 years, and a free plug for my 25th anniversary documentary. Go check it out. But I bet you didn't know this. Back in the 90s, I mean, this guy whistled the national anthem on Wednesday night. I used to have a kazoo in the studio. It started as like a little wooden, like wooden flute thing that made noise, and I got a kazoo, and I could do the Oriole Magic song on the kazoo. I'm not kidding you. And I would sing the Oriole Magic song. We'd play the Oriole Magic song, and you'd hear the piano come in, and it would be 1979 all over again. So I got to do that. I got to start playing the Oriole Magic song or singing, because it really is. It's fun to watch this. It's fun to talk to you. I mean, we get out of bed every morning. You stay up late every night. You cover the like. This is. I've been waiting 30 years to talk about a relevant baseball team chasing the Yankees and worried about trades and bullpen and who was in the rotation last night. Are we overtaxed in the bullpen and what's wrong with our outfielders? All of these awesome baseball questions. Luke is answering those questions out there along with 12 thoughts here. And again, as the Tampa Rays come to town, we're going to be at Fadley's on Friday. Poor John Martin is out. Gunnar Henderson's going to break the Maryland lottery with these grand slams and home run riches. I'll have the Pac-Man scratch-offs to give away on Friday at Fadley's. We're doing a crab cake tour all month long. Tuesday, we're going to be at Cooper's North and Mays Chapel, Timonium, promoting the 14th and Fleet Week down in Fells Point. Also on Thursday, we're going to be at State Fair in Catonsville before the Blue Jays game. I like to call it the Geddy Lee game. Geddy, please come do the show. I'm still chasing Geddy Lee down. I think he's worn out from his tour, his book tour. I'm still waiting to read his book. I got to get on a beach to do that. But the Blue Jays are in town next week. All are brought to you by our friends at Jiffy Lube MultiCare. A big appreciation for them, as well as Liberty Pure Solutions. Man, it feels like summertime. We got baseball in town. We got crab cakes. We got crabs on the grill. Everything's good around here, except we're chasing the Yankees. And as Luke pointed out earlier, we're still in second place. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking. Baltimore, positive.